How many of you have a Bible this morning? Got a big Bible. Do this with it. This is my Bible. No, don't do that. I always wanted to write Joel Osteen a letter. He says, this is my Bible. It is, I am what it says I am. I always wanted to write a letter that says, the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Because that's what the Bible says he is. Amen? That's what the Bible says I am too, by the way. And if this Bible's right, it does tell you what you are. But it also tells you what you can be. Somebody say amen. And I can do what it says I can do. That means I know that I can lie. Amen. I know I can cheat and I can steal and I can do all kinds of things. But I tell you what, by the grace of God, we are what we are. Somebody say amen. Last Sunday morning, I kind of started on a message and I don't know what it was. Just a real struggle to preach last Sunday morning. This week I've been thinking about this same chapter, Romans chapter 6. Turn in your Bible there to Romans chapter 6. God gave me kind of a different direction to take this message. It kind of is the same as last week, but it's a little bit different. I want us to, we'll probably go back to the beginning of Romans 6, kind of work our way down with a concept or an idea in our minds. And I want this to be a blessing to you, and I want it to be a help, because when God was dealing with me about it, it certainly was a blessing and a help to me. I want us to look, I want us to look in verse 17. We'll just kind of read our way down here in a little bit, and then we'll kind of go back to the beginning of the chapter. And I've got something just kind of by way of an illustration I want to use this morning. And so you just pray for the message and pray that God will open our eyes this morning and pray that God will help us. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. All right. The Bible says, but God be thanked that you were. Now that were is a past tense. And I want you to think about the past. Okay? I want you to think about the past. Not American history, not earth history, but your history. I want you to think about the past. All right? That you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 19, he said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have, there it is in the past tense, you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were, there it is again, when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free, now I want you to look at this verse. In fact, I want to go back to verse 21. But what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Think of your past. Okay? Think of your past. Would you today want to do the things that you did in your past? Okay? And the answer with Mike Hoggard is no, absolutely not. Okay? So he said, what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. And then read this verse again with me out loud, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's bow our heads this morning and pray and ask God to bless us. And ask God that His Spirit we'll deal with this morning and help us this morning. How many of you need help? Say amen. You might need help from what happened to you this week. But then again, you might need help from something that ain't happened this week, will happen this coming week, and you just don't know what's around the corner. So somebody say amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless today. Bless this message. Bless the preaching. Bless the preacher, God. Lord, I always need your help. I always need grace. I always need, Lord, strength to stand and to preach. And Lord, I always need a clear mind. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd not give us a mysterious, mystic spirit, where everything we can't figure out, but Lord, Father, that you can open our eyes wide and help us and show us things, dear God, that we needed to know yesterday, we really need to know today, and we'll need to know it for tomorrow. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, make sense out of life. Help us to see, Lord, where we came from and what we used to be. And Lord, help us to not be that anymore. Lord, help your people. I believe, Lord, that's why you wrote the Bible, was to help your people. Not so that we could help ourselves. Lord, we can. We can't do anything, Lord, to save ourselves and help ourselves. But Father, you wrote the Bible so that you could help us. And I just pray, dear God, that you would indeed help us, Father, this morning. And help me to preach this message, Father, Lord, help me to be obedient to the Spirit. And Lord, help me to preach without apology to any man, dear God, so long as I stay in this Bible. And Lord, Father, lay not an offense in front of someone, dear God, but bring them to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, before we go, I'm going to do two things here. Number one, I'm going to go back here. Brady's helped me out. Brady, I need you to help me out again. There's a little notepad on my desk there that I wrote, jotted down some notes this morning for the message, and I forgot them. Would you bring them to me this morning? Go ahead now. Don't be afraid. It's okay. As soon as you clear the door, we're going to talk about you behind your back, all right? You know that Brady, no, never mind, I won't do that. Anyway, Brady's going to help me out. And Brady's already helped me out this morning because I got an example. Now, I won't drop this behind the communion table like I did with the seed last Sunday. This is, who knows what this is? Okay, this, did you find it? Thank you. Now, put it right in here. No, just kidding. Okay, this is trash, and it's not just any trash. This is my trash. With the exception, Alicia comes in here every day, brings my beautiful granddaughter in here, lays her up on my desk, and puts it in here. And so I come in of a morning with the door shut all night long. Okay? Now, this is my trash. This is everything that used to be in my life. Now, here's what I want to do. And I'm not trying to change the Bible, but I'm trying to get us to something. The reason why I had that verse there, verse 21, let's look at that again. What fruit had ye then, and those things whereof ye are now ashamed? He's talking about your past. Who's got one of those? Some of you young people, listen to me. Some of you kids, you're working right now on what's going to be your past. And I promise you, and these old folks will raise their hand and testify, I promise you, you're going to do some things today or tomorrow that 15, 20 years from now, you're going to weep over. You are right now working on your past. Those of you who are older already look back on your life and shake your head. If you're right with God, you'll do this. Now, if you're not saved, I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're still here. You know what this represents? Everything that is no good to me anymore ends up right here. And every now and then, I really recommend this. Every now and then, about every 5 years, you ought to just go through your house, your shed, your closet. And if you haven't looked at it, touched it, thought about it, wore it, or tightened it in 5 years, throw it away. Amen. That's just a good example. I went through my office here a while back before I gutted it and redid it and everything like that. And I looked up on those bookshelves. And what I was doing, I was running out of room on bookshelves. So I just took books that I hadn't read, not going to read, didn't want anybody else to read. And I took them, put them in a big box, and I threw them out in the dumpster. Like I broke my ankle doing it, but I threw them away. Because it's junk to me. I don't want it anymore. I have no use for it whatsoever. And there's nothing about it. I'll give you an example right here. Who in here wants a used McDonald's cup? Anybody? Son, put your hand down. Okay? I won't even get into what all else is in here, because I'll tell you, just like in everybody's life, we don't always want somebody going through our past, do we? We don't always, I don't mind showing you the cup here, okay? But just like in everything else, what's in here needs to stay in here. This is the empty, or this is the refuse of what used to be that I don't want around anymore. And I want you to get this, because if this helps one person this morning, I'm going to set that right there for a minute. He said in verse 21, "What fruit had ye then, and those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." What is the life? Where is this headed here? This is going to go, actually, normally in my office it hangs around for several weeks. And eventually it gets thrown in the dumpster. And they come and take that thing, and they put those in what's called landfills. You know what a landfill is? It's a big pit. Because that's where this needs to go. This needs to be buried somewhere. And who is it that wants somebody going to the landfills and digging up all their old garbage to find out? And you know, police will do this, or investigative groups, if they're really desperate for information, they'll start going through your trash. And that's why you ought to be careful. When you get stuff in the mail with names or numbers on it, you ought to shred it up. Amen? That way, see, this all makes sense, doesn't it? Because we really don't want somebody digging up our old junk. Because we got a new life now that we're working on. And I don't want this anymore. I'm tired of it. By the way, I'm tired of it being around all the time too. I mean, you guys, some of you know me pretty well. You go in my office, there's stuff scattered all over the place. Books, papers, I mean, you name it. Coffee cups that Jared leaves on the corner of the desk. Okay? I mean, you name it. This stuff is everywhere. Okay? And every now and then, Bradley will come in and go, "Whoa, you cleaned your office." And what it is that, I mean, it's a messy desk is the mark of a brilliant mind. And every now and then, I just can't stand it anymore. You listen to that. Every now and then, I can't take it. It's junk. You know what it is? It's papers that I printed off the internet that I'm looking at going, "Boy, I really use that." And I'll lay it on the desk. And 5 weeks later, CJ, I'll pick it up and going, "I don't need that." Throw it away. Now, I want you to listen to this. I want to go back through Romans 6. And where we see the word sin, I want us to just interject the word past. Now, I'm not trying to change the Bible, but that's the theme that's here on verse 21. The things that we were ashamed of, we're ashamed of now, but the things that we used to do, or the people that we used to be, or the life we used to live before we got saved. Can I hear you say amen? It's in the past. And I want to tell you something. Bible Christianity, I'll tell you what, everybody ought to get saved. Everybody in this life that wishes at some point in their life that they could go back and do it all over again. Have you ever thought that before? Have you ever made a mistake in your life that was so stupid and you were so embarrassed about it, you would give anything if they would invent a time machine and you could go back and not do that again and change the future? And really, that's to absolve our conscience of things that we've done. And I'll tell you what, it don't work that way. Because you know us? You know what we would do? If we went back and fixed that one mistake, we would make another one, probably the same day. You know why? Because the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. So there is never, and as long as you're in this life, there will never be an end to you collecting garbage. Who in here, they come by once a week to get your trash? Raise your hand. or twice, once every 2 weeks. But at some point, they got to come by and pick up what used to be, the empty containers of what used to be in your life. Because there's never an end in this life, because we're living under vanity in a vain world, in a corrupt flesh. And this represents, I mean, when this started out, when Alicia brought me this the other day, I couldn't wait to get my hands on it. Amen. It was full of Coca-Cola. And I love Coca-Cola. And it was good and cold. And I drank it. And then it sat around for 2 days. And I said, you know what? I got to get rid of that. Because it's no good anymore. I want you to watch this now. We're going to go through Romans 6 again very fast. And where we see the word sin, I want you to think of your past. Okay? In fact, I want you to think of this for a minute. I wrote down some notes this morning to kind of help me out. And that way, if I got at a loss for words, I would just pull out this paper here. I should write them up on the board here, but I'm not. I want you to listen to this. Things that are in our past. Okay? How about past addictions? How about past addictions? Drugs. People that have been addicted to drugs before, either illegal drugs or pharmaceutical drugs. By the way, that's growing. And you could probably find doctors all over this county that'll write you an endless supply of prescriptions. But being addicted to drugs, being addicted to alcohol, okay? Those things, at some point, they all have to end up here. You can't carry this junk around. And what it is, Alicia will put a diaper in this thing. And if I don't get it the next day, I'll get it 2 days after that. I'll walk in my office one day and go, oh, man. Because after a while, this stuff stinks. And so does your past. And you want, the thing that you craved for at one time, you want nothing to do with anymore. That's what we're good at. Somebody say amen. Past addictions, drugs, alcohol, pornography. This world is turning itself into one big giant porn addict. Because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You don't have to go into liquor stores anymore to buy nasty books. You can get them everywhere. Cigarettes. Past addictions. I don't know of anybody that ever quit smoking and quit smoking for 20 years and then said, you know what? I think it'll do me some good if I start smoking again. At some point, you got to get rid of it. How about past offenses? And I'm talking legal offenses. People that's been in jail before. I don't know if anybody in this church has ever been in jail. But there might be somebody listening to this message this morning that's been in jail. And you know what? People that when they go to jail, when they get out, I'm talking about normal people, that the last place that they want to end up back in is in jail or prison. And the last thing they want anybody reminding them of is that they used to be in prison. How many of you say amen to that? That's the last thing. You know, somebody that really wants help in their life, they might come out of prison, and the prison will do what prison kind of is intended to do. It's intended to be mean and cruel to you, so you say, I'm not going to do that anymore. But we got a system now in the prison where most of the guys that show up in prison don't care if they go back. Past offenses. And what it is that people come out of those things, and they just assume that there not be somebody around them all the time to remind them that they used to be a jailbird. I wouldn't. If I had to go to jail for something and I did my time and I come out and I served my sentence and I paid my debt, I would not want to live the rest of my life with somebody hounding me and reminding me about what I used to be. Somebody say amen. It's the same way with our past offenses in life. We don't want people that are around us that are going to constantly remind us of something stupid that we did. Let me tell you something. Let me help you in your marriage. There are offenses always committed in marriage. The worst thing that you can do as a spouse, if that offense has been forgiven and repented of, the worst thing that you do, you want to kill your marriage, keep bringing it up. And here I have on here, bad marriages. We have people in this church house that are divorced and remarried. Okay? The last thing that you want to have somebody do all the time is remind you of your old bad marriage. Come on, say amen. That's the last thing in the world you want. Okay? Bad childhood. These people in this church had a rotten childhood. Rotten one. And it seems like the psychiatry today, and I'm not necessarily against all psychiatry and psychology, but I will tell you that a lot of this stuff is just simply trying to get you to relive the past. You know what Apostle Paul said about that? Forgetting those things that are behind. You know what you can't do? You cannot let your past tell you your future. That's biblical. Can't do it. Your past needs to be here. And it needs to go to the landfill where it'll stay. How about this? Rejection. Who's in here ever been rejected? Let's say you had a bunch of friends and then all of a sudden they turned on you. Who's ever had that happen before? Family members turned on you. Who's ever had that? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Help somebody out here this morning. Because it looks like about 90% of this church has been in situations where they invested their life in somebody and they said, get out! You raised your hand and I know exactly where you're going. Because we prayed for him to be saved. He was in a religious organization that he would have given his life for. And they rejected him. They turned their back on him. And you know what? God was in it. And now he's cut. And you know what? He don't want to go back. Praise the Lord. Amen. Put it in there, Brady. Amen. Let it go. Sins of the past. Faults that we have in us that we didn't ask for. Who in here remembers being 4 years old and saying, God, would you make me a fornicator, please? You didn't ask for that. But it's in there. And you came to a point in your life where you wanted to be saved. You didn't just want to go to heaven. You wanted to be saved. And you wanted everything that was in your past to be buried. And done away with. And nobody to relive it anymore. Nobody to bring it up anymore. That's what you wanted more than anything. Somebody say amen. Shout. Wave your hand. I don't care what you do. But that's exactly where it is. You wanted it gone. Because you didn't ask God to make you a thief or a liar or bitter. You didn't ask God to make you those things. They was already there when you showed up on the scene because you're born into sin. But the best thing that can happen to you is you come to Christ. Let's read the text now. Now I'm ready to preach, all right? Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Watch this now. Watch this. I'm going to get my bag out here. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. Get it out. Amen. Take the garbage out. Somebody say amen. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? Who wants to live in here? Listen, I got an apartment for rent. One room apartment, already furnished. Who wants to move in here? Who wants to go out and move out by the landfill where this is going? Who wants to live out there? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Don't want it anymore. And praise God, He gave you a new nature where all of a sudden this just does not appeal to you very much anymore. Whew. Oh, here it is. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, watch this, we are buried with Him by baptism. Now, God believes in recycling. Amen. God is a recycler. Because He said, you know what? Most people think that I can't use this. But God says, wait till you see what I can do with this. By the way, here's the contradiction in Mike Hoggard's life. Coca-Cola and Diet Dr. Pepper. Because some days I feel like being right. And some days I don't. God says, God takes an old wicked, vile sinner that there's nothing left in him. And there's no use in it whatsoever. And when we're buried with Christ in baptism, God says, you know what? I can take this and I can use this all over again. In fact, I can use it better now than I ever could before. Somebody say, somebody shout hallelujah. I don't care what, I don't tell you what. God's a recycler. And just because it got thrown away and buried, that doesn't mean God's done. And I want to tell you what, I preach at it every funeral that I know that they're saved. And I preach it at Pearls. I want to tell you something. God's not done with her yet. In fact, He's going to use her now better than He ever did. You know why? She is going to be with us sitting on white horses coming back with Jesus in the millennial reign. Somebody say amen. Amen. Woo! Now I'm really struggling up here now. Okay? Amen. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's your past. Let it go. Amen. Now I want to tell you something. If you think you're going to start hanging around people that all they're going to do is bring up the old days and how you used to be, bury them. Let them go. You don't need them rascals anymore. Whew. Verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this first, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of what? The past. The body of the past, the things that we used to be and things that we're ashamed of now, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I'm tired of living in my past. And I'm going to tell you something. Let's say that there's somebody out there that knows something on you. You don't want to be... Let me give you an example. And I've told this before. My evil, wicked sister, bless her heart, she could sign my mama's name like my mama. And I got what they call a pink slip when I was in school, which was a mid-quarter deficiency report. Saying little Mikey was making a D minus in such and such, usually math, because I hated math. And I wrote two books on numbers, and I hate math. Okay? I brought home that detention slip one time. Man, I'll tell you what, I was scared as my mom as I was a she bear. And I did not want to get a whipping for that, David. So I told my sister said, I'll sign it for you. Oh, will you really? I'm going to tell you something. There is a Savior and there is a pseudo-Savior. Now, I love my sister and I'm not preaching against her like she's the Antichrist or something like that. But I fell for it. And she signed that note and I took it back to the teacher, sweating bullets. And the teacher looked at it, okay, put it in the folder. And it all went away. And nobody knew about it. Except my sister. who when she needed her room clean, she said, go clean my room. No!
I'll tell Mom.
Never dawned on me, CJ, she would have got a lot more than I would have. And by the way, the devil is. He's going to get it a lot worse than anybody sitting here, I guarantee you. But she held me in bondage because she knew something about my past. And I want to tell you something. You might be sitting here today and there's somebody out there that's holding you in bondage. And you know what? Let God have it. Let Him have it. Let God take it from you. Let Him bury it. Let Him remove it and cast it as far as east is from west. Let Him do that. Would you? You'll be free. You will be free and you won't be afraid anymore. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I came to church this morning. Somebody say amen. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. And that's really what it is that you want in your life. You don't want this stuff no more. Amen? You don't want the addictions anymore. You don't want the pains of the past. You don't want the rejections anymore. You're tired of it. You want it no more. Somebody say amen. And God can do that for you. Man, I like throwing that away. That feels good. Amen. Let's see here. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. But your past is over with. It's dead. It's buried. It's gone. Get rid of it. Go away. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, now verse 12. Let not your past, therefore, reign in your mortal body. If you used to be an adulterer, don't be an adulterer anymore. Don't let that have its way in your life anymore. Not just the painful reminder of what you used to be, but the very deeds of what you used to be. If you threw it away, leave it there. Well, I tell you what, that's going to get us every time. Because you know how we are? We're just as rotten as what's in that can right there. And you know what we do? We say, God, I'm going to get rid of this. I'm not going to do it no more. And we throw it away. And you know what we do? Oh. Am I telling the truth? We're sick. I knew an old boy. I mean, he wrestled with alcohol every day of his life until he died. He wrestled with alcohol. And he'd swear off. Never going to touch this stuff again. And one day he was working with this old guy, and this guy kept, he was smelling him. He smelled real strong aftershave. You know what he was doing, Gary? He was drinking aftershave. That'll kill you. But he was so desperate for it. It's like people that want a cigarette so bad they'll go through the trash and pull out a butt with something that long left on it. Well, that's good. The book of Proverbs refers to it as a dog returning to his own vomit. And at some point, And listen, here's what I believe God will do. God loves you so much that He'll drag you through a course in life that to where this literally makes you so sick that you never want to go back to it again. Ask God to do that for you. Ask Him to do it for you. He will. I promise you, He will. If you say, God, I want you to literally make me so sick at the thought of ever sinning against you again that way, God, would you do that for me? Now, hang on. Because that's what's fixing to happen. But I believe God will do it for you. And God will be holding your hand the whole time. Somebody tell God thank you. Say amen. Amen. Oh, let's see here. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin or unto the past, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness of God. If you used your hands to commit sin, then throw them away and get you a new pair of hands, and don't ever use them for sin again. Use them for righteousness. Amen. Use them for righteousness. I believe it's righteous to hold a Bible in your hand. Amen. If you use your eyes to look at things you ought not look at, get rid of it. Jesus said, pluck them out. Get you a new pair of eyes and don't ever look at that stuff ever again. Just read your Bible. Amen. He said, yield your members. Don't yield them. Don't use what God gave you to go picking through the trash anymore. Turn a corner and use them for doing what's right. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, bless, you know, we like to take Sundays. We like to lay around in bed for a while and get our rest up before we go back to work. That's the old way. The new way is get up out of bed Sunday morning, come to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Verse 14. For your past, shall not have dominion over you ever again. Let me tell you something. And by the way, I'm not preaching positive mental output here. I'm not telling you to bring yourself to a point mentally where you say, I have declared myself free. Bless God. I am free. Nobody can. Listen, it don't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way. This world and these preachers that are telling you that, they're lying out their teeth to you. The only way that this will not reign over you ever again is for you to be in Christ. Because He's already died and He's buried and He rose again. And you're awaiting that time. But the only thing that will ever work in your life is Jesus Christ in your life and nothing else. You'll never be able to stop digging through the trash until you get right with God. New carpet. For sin, your past shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Whew. What then? Shall we sin because, shall we go back and do what we used to do because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. I'm going to tell you something. You need to stop for a minute right now, figure out where your life is. Because if you say you're saved, and yet you are still living in the trash pile, something not right. And I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. Get it right. Get it right. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law of grace. For what then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom, listen to this, to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey. So you call Jesus your Lord, and He is your Lord. He should be your Lord. That means He tells you what to do, and you follow what He does. That means the devil cannot be your Lord anymore. He cannot be your master. He cannot say, smoke that cigarette. He cannot tell you, now take a drink of that now. He cannot tell you, now go get that bottle of Valium now like you used to. He can't tell you that stuff anymore. He's not your boss. He's not supposed to be. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were in the past servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I want to go back to this deal where you're dwelling here. I want you to think about this. And think about the reality of the picture that God gives us. Mankind is a rare breed on planet Earth in that mankind cannot live under certain conditions. We cannot live out in the cold. We have to have warmth. We cannot survive out in the heat. We have to get where it's cool. We cannot live in dirt and in filth, can we? Dogs can do it. Dogs can sleep under your house. When we had a set of dogs when I was a kid, we used to have a big pen there. And every now and then on a hot summer day, Daddy would go and let those dogs out of that pen. You know where they would run? They would run right to our sewage lagoon. Boosh! And dive in there. And wallow all in it. And get out and shake it. And they were just happy as dogs could be. And my wife's going, do you know why? God did not design us to thrive in those conditions. God designed us to live where things are clean. Are you listening to me? God designed us to thrive and to live where things are clean. You cannot thrive in a trash heap. Can't do it. You talk to somebody that's a social worker for family services. And you ask them about some of the houses they've had to go in and rescue kids out of. Ask them. They'll tell you things about what's going on in this county that you don't want to know about. And you know what? Rightfully so. Children are not supposed to be raised in something like that. Let me hear God's people say amen. Neither are you. God birthed you, and the first thing the doctor did with you is they cleaned you up. And it takes work to stay clean. Let me get back to this. Verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me right now. If you're here today and you're lost and you're still here, let me tell you that the end road here is the dump pile. It's the pit. It's the hole. This is where you're headed. God gave you a choice that you don't have to dwell here anymore. Somebody say amen. You have a choice. You don't have to live here. But you know, really, let's get down to it. You know what it is that we really know? This is the troubling part about humanity. We know way too many people that love this. That's the troubling part, isn't it? We know too many people that they know clearly the choice between heaven and hell and righteousness and unrighteousness. And Bradley, they don't want righteousness. They don't want cleanness. They don't want heaven. They don't want Bibles. They don't want Ten Commandments. They don't want anything that's clean. And you can't change them. They live like pigs. And I'm talking spiritually. They live like pigs. And they will die in the slaughterhouse like pigs. And no wonder God called them unclean. Are you listening to the preacher this morning? We're not pigs. We're sheep. Amen? God didn't call us to live that way. And right now, listen to me. Listen to the preacher. The wages of this is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want you to bow your head this morning. Every head bowed. We're going to have us an altar call this morning. A real live altar call. And I know, maybe I'm preaching to all saved people. I don't know. But I'm going to ask you a question this morning. You're sitting here this morning, and you're still living in the filth of your past. That's not right. It's not right for you to do that. You need to be free. And you want to be free. I believe there's something inside of you that desperately wants to be free. And Christ can make you free this morning. But you got to ask Him. It's part of your past. And your preacher knows all about trying to get out of the past. But I'm here to tell you, God can do it. You've got to want it. Your problem is sometimes you don't want it. Today, you really need to want it. Because Christ died to set you free. Now I want us to pray here in a minute. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is just between me and you. I'm your pastor. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to look at you funny. Because I don't know what it is. But you're here this morning, you want to raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I'm living with the trash. And I want to be clean." God bless you. I see that. Anybody else? Thank you for your honesty. God bless you. God bless you. Come on now. I'm living with the trash and I want to be clean. God bless you. I see it. Somebody else? God's moving. Yes, sir. Thank you. Now, I'm going to come down here to this altar. We're going to have, and I haven't been doing this for a while. Y'all been getting it easy. But if we don't start using these things, we probably need to get them out of the church. Because there's nothing worse than heaven than a useless piece of furniture sitting around. But the people that bought these altars bought them for a reason. They intended them to be used. And I believe God wants to use them today. Now I'm going to ask you this morning, would you come down to one of these mourner's benches and come and kneel down here and mean some business with God this morning and say, "God, I need your help. Would you come? Come join your pastor. Come on. Come on." Got some brave people this morning. No, we got some people that are just sick of it. Amen.